or it's free.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7-11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, the Bill Cosby trial continues this morning. I was kind of shocked that the defense only took 6 minutes. They questioned one witness for 6 minutes yesterday. That, could you imagine walking out of that courtroom? What do you mean you only interviewed the witness for 6 minutes and you're going to keep me out of the jail cell and you just blarty, flarty, barty, barty, barty? I'd have been a little upset if I were Bill Cosby and my defense attorney only questioned somebody for 6 minutes. It would take me longer to eat the Jell-O pudding pop than you took to try to keep my butt out of jail, you see. Barter, barter, barter. Yeah, not very happy. Dennis Rodman is going to North Korea. That's right. He's going to go visit his pal over there, Kim Jong-un. You know, they're real close. They're buddies over there, Dennis Rodman. Because Dennis Rodman is possibly, he thinks he's found the only person on the planet that is crazier than he is. And ironically, Kim Jong-un thinks that Dennis Rodman is the only person on the planet crazier than he is. So these two just going to get over there in North Korea and try to out-crazy each other for a little while. And we'll see who wins. Not really sure why. I think this is all to promote some type of a new, like a Bitcoin. It's a promotional campaign, pure and simple. He's being paid to go over there by his sponsor. Nothing is going to happen. Of course, we do have Americans that are being held captive over in North Korea. I'm sure nothing is going to be said about that. Why? Because, frankly, Dennis Rodman knows nothing about that. Dennis Rodman has no idea about international affairs. He's basically knows about basketball and marrying himself. That's what, remember that when he had put on the wedding dress and he went out and he married himself and it was all really, really nice. So who else did he married? Carmen Electra, didn't he, for like a minute? It wasn't long at all, I don't think. So Dennis Rodman heading over to North Korea today. We'll see what comes out of it. That's a meeting of two masterminds right there. That's a brain trust. You want to be a fly on the wall when those two start speaking to each other. I'm sure the interpreters are both going to be looking at each other going, what? Oh, my God. How do I get out of this job? Of course, Dennis Rodman's interpreter will be okay, but the North Korean interpreter will probably be put in front of a machine gun when this is over with, because that's the way they do things over there.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is 7:19, 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones and talk to Paul out in Mount Pleasant. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So, probably totally unrelated to what's going on this morning that you've talked about. But, okay, so about 5, 6, 8 years ago, I can't remember, I've lost track of time, but
yeah.
Sproul Avenue used to be 4 lanes.
Right.
2 going up to Park Circle, 2 going down. So they decided, oh, we're going to redo the roads, and we're going to just go ahead and improve the roads. So what they did is they took the middle lane. Well, no, first of all, they took away one lane per side,
mm-hmm.
and they created 2 bike lanes, and then they took the center lane and made it much, much larger than a standard center lane. And
right.
So I thought, well, you just ruined the traffic flow, because a lot of folks who are coming from downtown, they use Sproul Avenue as an alternate to get off of I-26
mm-hmm.
when 26 is backed up. So now what they did is they created a traffic jam, basically a bottleneck on 2-lane roads. So they decided that on James Island, Harborview Road absolutely needed to be widened. The traffic was so bad. So what did they do? The same thing.
Yeah.
They widened the road to accommodate for 2 bike lanes. Now, how many people are riding their bikes on that?
That's the thing, Paul, and we've been talking about this for a long while now. Why is the people of the Lowcountry, our local officials, why are they bending over backwards for what I will call a micro minority of people who want to use their bikes?
I agree. And so now here they're going to get ready to widen Main Road to John's Island, right?
Right.
I'll bet you, I don't have it, but I'll bet you a six-pack of beer. No, I do have that.
Okay.
I'll bet you a six-pack of beer, okay, your choice, that what they will do is they will do the exact same thing they've done twice already in this county,
yep,
is they will widen this road to accommodate two bike lanes. They won't create four lanes going back and forth. They'll create two lanes, one going, one coming back, a giant center lane so that people can go over and make their turns, and then two bike lanes that nobody in town uses.
Right. Yeah, exactly so, right.
I just had to vent because we were driving down Harborview Road just mm-hmm. this weekend, went to see some friends of ours, and I thought, I'm driving down the road, and then it hit me. They created this, now they've got sidewalks and everything, and it's all great for the community.
Right.
But meanwhile, the people who drive that road 6-7 days a week are still screwed.
Yeah, you're right. And what has been done? Nothing has been done to alleviate the traffic in those areas. Paul, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you. So phase two of Maybank Highway is going to start, looks like on Monday, as crews are going to start working on widening the road from Stono River Bridge to the intersection of River Road on Johns Road. Now, they say that this is going to help alleviate the afternoon congestion onto Johns Island caused by merging the two travel lanes. But Molly Lemon, the project's director, says the first couple of months are just going to be the preliminary work. There are going to be signs added for safety, fencing to protect trees, erosion control, and more. The majority of the construction is going to start around the end of August and is expected to take 15 months to complete. It's going to cost about $6.7 million and is funded by the Charleston County Transportation Sales Tax. So the construction starting on at no time will the roadway be closed during daytime hours. However, work can occur during daylight hours. Lane closures must occur during nighttime. At no time will the entire roadway be blocked, according to that, with what's going on right now. The preliminary work that they're working on with Maybank Highway. But again, I mean, one of the things that is like Paul was saying before, we bend over backwards to accommodate a micro minority of people who want to ride their bikes to work or recreationally. I'm sorry. I don't think we need to be widening a road for somebody to get out there and just ride their bike because they, and who rides recreationally on a busy highway? That, to me, that is not very safe. That's not very practical. And it's costing a heck of a lot of money to the citizens of the Lowcountry. Again, I don't understand it. Yeah, you want to ride your bike? Fine. But you don't ride them on the highways. You don't spend all of this money trying to appease this very small, but granted, vocal minority of people who want to get out there and ride their bikes. You don't do it. And I'm sorry. I know you want us to be a bike-friendly community. I know you do. But we're just not built for it. And we don't have the tax revenue and the tax base to start widening these roads and putting in bike lanes. We just don't.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, Jeff Sessions is going to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee later on this afternoon. And, of course, his testimony comes after FBI Director James fired FBI Director James Comey's session before the same Senate panel last week. Comey talked about getting pressure from President Donald Trump to drop a probe into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's contacts with Russia. Now, we've seen that there was no obstruction of justice. There was no evidence that, well, the president wasn't being investigated by the FBI. No evidence of collusion with the Russians. So it was a day of vindication when James Comey testified before Congress. I am not so sure the good feelings that the president had at the end of that testimony I'm not sure he's going to have the same feelings today. Jeff Sessions is in real danger today with his testimony before the Senate. And we'll find out. But what they're trying to see is what was the role of Jeff Sessions in the firing of James Comey? And one of the big questions that I guarantee you they're going to hammer and hammer and hammer on today was, why did Jeff Sessions leave the room when President Trump cleared the room and wanted to talk to James Comey alone? Why did Sessions agree to that? That's going to be one thing. Why did he fail to mention certain meetings with Russian ambassadors while he was a senator? Now, you're a senator. That's your job. You meet with people. He didn't feel like it was relevant to put that on this, on the background check, if you will, while he was nominated to be the attorney general. So it's going to be very interesting to see this testimony today. But like I said, I don't think that the president is going to have quite as good a feeling at the end of this testimony as he did the James Comey testimony. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, in just a minute, we're going to be talking about a referendum in Mount Pleasant to break Mount Pleasant up into 9 districts and hire elect councilmen from each district. We'll have that on. We'll be talking with Will Haney. Also, what's going to happen with that mural at Moe's? They're going to be discussing that today.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:49 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Mount Pleasant is our fourth largest municipality in South Carolina, and we are the largest municipality, or they are, the largest municipality that elects all of its council members at large. And there's a group out there that wants to change that. Let's talk to Will Haney about this petition that was submitted by Mount Pleasant United. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me this morning.
Glad to have you on. Now, the Board of Elections ruled, and now they needed, 9,195 signatures on this petition. They only had 8,337 verified, right?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds right.
So what was Mount Pleasant United trying to do?
Well, if you look at it on the surface, what they were trying to do was to have somehow divide the town into 8 districts. Mm-hmm. Because we have 8 councilmen and 1 mayor.
Okay.
And one of the weaknesses of their platform is that we have the weak mayor, strong council form of government.
Right.
And so our mayor is basically another member of council. Our mayor does not have any broader authority than other council members, other than to make committee assignments and to do some ceremonial duties.
Mm-hmm.
So if this had succeeded, Charlie, what you basically would have had is 8 council members representing one part of town and 1 council member, i.e. the mayor, elected at large, representing all of town. And I think that would have been a significant weakness in that form of government, for starters.
Right.
Second, what you keep seeing, and what one of their organizers said in the paper yesterday, is people in the north side of town feel like the south side of town is getting all the attention. Well, that doesn't bear out. If you look at where funding is going, if you look at where council members are showing up for issues like the regional stadium going in front of Carolina Park.
Right.
I sat in the front row, and I was there with Councilman Bustos and Councilman Santos, and we are labeled as, quote, Save Shem Creek candidates.
Yeah.
Well, why were we sitting up there concerned about Carolina Park? That's nowhere near Shem Creek.
Right.
And Councilman Brimmer was there. He lives in Park West. So some of this is a way, I think, to divide. We had a voter stampede in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch the Western movie, how do you stop a stampede? Well, you corral the cows. And we had a voter stampede, and I think there are some powers that be in this town that would rather have the voters corralled than have them be able to stampede like they did in 2015.
Do you see any benefits whatsoever for us going with 8 different districts in Mount Pleasant?
No, and what people forget, they compare it to Columbia or to Washington. One, do you want that kind of government?
Right.
How's that working for you? But two, the big thing is this comes to land use decisions. Local governments make land use decisions, like you were just talking about the bicycle lanes,
right,
all that kind of stuff. We make decisions at a micro level on your streets, your neighborhood, the signs that you're looking at, like we're going to be talking about in a minute about Moe's,
yeah,
that kind of thing. And you want your local representatives making those decisions that affect your day-to-day life to be accountable to every single one of you, every single constituent. Because if mm-hmm. not, you know, you vote for things and to keep things out of your side of town and say, what the heck, I don't care if it goes to the other side of town. That
right.
does not work at the local government part as well as it does when everybody is at large. And I've had members of county council call me and say, you do not want town council put in districts. Look at the Save James Island effort. They're trying to get a moratorium over there. And you've got some
That's right.
members of county council that, you know, they're ambivalent because, hey, it doesn't affect them. They don't have to answer to those voters.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, if the folks on the north side of Mount Pleasant feel underrepresented, they need to put some folks up for election.
That's right. And don't forget that in the 2015 election, the four of us that ran loosely but ran together because we were ideologically allied,
mm-hmm.
we unseated two members who lived in the north side of town because that's what the voters wanted.
Right.
And what I like to say is at the local level, they don't care about your address as much as they care about how you address the issues. And they will pick you regardless of where you live if you're talking their language.
There you go. All right. So let's talk about that sign at Moe's. You guys going to be weighing in on this thing today?
Yeah. And it is a legal issue, and it's on the agenda under executive session.
Right.
Because it has been part of a mediation in the court system. And, Charlie, it seems like so much of what we do anymore in local government does go through the court system and ends up being more of a mediated thing than a governmental answer.
Right.
But the long and short of it is, and you jumped on this very early, and the Moe's people admitted, that is a sign.
Right.
It is tied to their brand. It promotes their brand. And that is a sign, and they should have gotten a permit for it. That's my biggest issue with
mm-hmm.
it. Now, the issue of murals, yeah, I would rather have painted buildings and murals than I would these, you know, big gaudy commercial signs.
Right. Yeah.
We have changed our ordinance to say that building graphics that are drawings or murals painted on buildings that don't contain copy symbols, color schemes, or other references to products or services are exempt. So you have to read between the lines and say, yes, that's tied to their brand, the musician, outlaw, and entertainer, which they have admitted.
Right.
But it is not tied to their product or services. So, in effect, every Chick-fil-A can put the big cow up, and that's okay because that's not their product or service. But if they put a chicken up, then it's in violation.
Okay. You're right. It's you know, you got to, there's a lot of hair splitting going on there, right?
Right, there is. And in terms of murals itself, our legal team gave us this big legal report. No government can control content. So if somebody wanted to put something up that's very offensive culturally,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have, you know, you couldn't put an X-rated painting or something up, but it could be very offensive racially or regionally or internationally, something like that.
Right.
And government cannot stop that. That is protected free speech.
Well, that now you're getting into a pretty scary area, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, free speech can be a scary thing, but we cannot say, oh, we like this mural of the Marsh. We don't like this mural
right.
of a Civil War battle, you know, because it has
Confederate
flags in it or something.
Right.
You can't do that as a government. And it's, you know, if we err, let's err on the side of freedom.
Well, now Smoke, they had the mural on the side of their building that had the name Smoke on it, and they took that off.
That's right.
So now it's just
a Marshgate.
Right, right. And it looks nice. It looks nice.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. It adds. Yeah.
So when will we find out what's going on with the mural?
It should be decided tonight, and
okay.
And you'll know. I'll be glad to shoot you a message or let you know, and we'll see. I think I know which way it's going. Everybody yeah. wants to stay out of court,
right?
And you know, we don't want to spend any more money on legal fees than we have to. We've got so many infrastructure needs in the town.
That's true. All right. Well, let me know. Let me know, buddy.
All right, Charlie. Thanks
a lot. Will Haney on with us this morning. Thank you, Will. We appreciate it. It's just a couple of minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. But that whole thing about the mural out at Moe's, that's one of those. It, you know what? Just do things the right way. That's the only thing. I am real big on following the rules. I'm real big on following the law. I'm real big on doing things the right way because this is just me. Whenever I've tried to take a shortcut in life, it always takes me twice as long to get to where I wanted to be. That's why I want to do things the right way. I want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed so that we can make sure that everything is appropriate. I just don't like taking shortcuts whatsoever.
TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Well, guys, it looks like all that time that you've not been spending in the gym is really starting to pay off. Good for you. A little early Father's Day ego boost for you. Apparently, that physique that you haven't been working on is sexier than you think. According to a new survey, 69% of women think that a dad bod is sexy, and 63% prefer a dad bod over a guy who is in good shape. Now, the study defines a dad bod as, quote, relatively fit, but neither lean nor muscular. So, not too chubby, but not too ripped or even toned at all. The old dad bod. Have you ever seen the picture of Eli Manning without a shirt? Have you? You would have think Eli Manning with the New York Giants was, you know, premier athlete, premier quarterback in the NFL. You would have thought this guy would have been ripped and muscular and all that. No, 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 no. No, he looks like our sales manager. You don't, that's just not. You would have thought it would have been more than that. Oh, that's Eli. Really? Even Tom Brady apparently has a little bit of the dad bod going on there. So here's some more stats from the survey. 78% of women think a dad bod is a sign that a guy's comfortable in his own skin. 47% of women agree that a dad bod is the new six-pack. Really? So a little extra padding is in style right now. 80% of women said they'd be proud to be married to a guy with a dad bod. And 92% of married men with a dad bod say they're happy with their marriage. 86% are happy with their life in general. And 61% say they're proud of their body. So there you go. The dad bod is sexy now. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. I didn't get to the gym this week. No. That makes 5 years in a row. Doggone it. Hate that. All right, it's 13 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Governor Henry McMaster has pulled out the old veto pen, and he is going to be cutting a lot of our school money that we're getting. And it's not just the school money. It's where the money is going to. And a lot of this money is slated to go for some of our buses here in South Carolina. Now, this is kind of an interesting story because since 2015, 17 of our buses have caught fire in South Carolina. 17.
Call or click today.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, do we need new school buses here in South Carolina? Do we? Oh, absolutely we do. There's no debate about that. But more than a third of the $156.4 million in state spending that South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster has vetoed was slated to replace our aging school buses, so he vetoed it. He cut $20.5 million for new school buses, saying that the money might not come through because it depends on the South Carolina lottery raising more than predicted. Now, let's put this into terms that maybe we can understand. You need a new heating and air conditioning unit in your house, all right? And you're counting on that tax refund check to put that in. So you go ahead and you get that heating and air conditioning put into your house, and then what happens if you don't get back as much money as you thought you were going to get back in your taxes? Well, now you're in deep trouble because you got to pull that out of the general household fund, and you had already been planning to put new siding on the house with that money. So now you got to put that. Do you see how that just tends to snowball? So you've got all of this money that's supposed to come in from the South Carolina lottery. Now, here's the thing. Lottery money was the way they sold this, you know, the lottery to the voters here in South Carolina is this is going to go to scholarships. Well, look here. Look what we're going to do. We're going to bring this lottery in. We're going to get rid of all those nasty video poker machines. We're going to bring the lottery in. We're going to use that money to provide scholarships for kids across South Carolina, and they're all going to be able to go to college, and we're going to have this great workforce out there, and all of our kids are going to be so smart and so bright. Hey, why don't we use a little bit of that money for something else then? Now, a lot of this money is spent on other education expenses. The governor's office is saying what I just said. It is supposed to be spent on scholarships. So Governor McMaster vetoed, like I said, $28.9 million that lawmakers approved last week to buy or lease new school buses. Now, the governor wrote in his video message that spending the money before it's available is not a responsible budgeting practice. Thank you, Governor McMaster. Thank you very much for being responsible with our money here in South Carolina. I do appreciate that because basically you're counting your eggs before they're hatched. Huh? Never thought I'd use that terminology, but it's exactly what's going on. You're counting your eggs before they're hatched. We don't have that money yet from the lottery, and we're depending on that to fund this $28.9 million to get new buses out there. Yeah. All right. So there you go. He said the lottery money should be used only for scholarships for our young people because that's what voters promised 17 years ago. That's exactly right. Now, do we need those new buses? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we do. The $28.9 million, if all of it comes in, would allow the Education Department to buy 298 new buses and lease another 116 buses. Each bus costs about $80,000. So the added money for buses would leave almost 1,000 school buses more than 20 years old still operating. But if they're still in, I think the average odometer reading on our buses here in South Carolina is 289,000 miles or something like that, 289,000. They're getting up there. They're getting up there. So that's just one of the things that Governor McMaster vetoed, and they hope that there's enough support. The opposition hopes there's enough support to override this veto. Now, of course, we know the state budget is going to be upon us in just, 17-18 days from now? 17-18 days. And of course, that's when you're going to be hit with that 2% increase in your gas tax. Remember, they're going to reduce it or increase it 2%, 2 cents per gallon over the next 6 years. So that 12-cent gas increase, that'll be taking place on July 1st. But I'm okay with Governor McMaster saying, you know what, let's not spend this money. Right. Let's find some other way to fund this and get some new buses or wait until or. You know, you want to say, well, stop spending it on all of these other things, all of this money, but where's the money going to come from? where's the money going to come from to get new buses? What, $28.9 million for our new buses here in South Carolina? What did they say? Like I said, since 2015, we've had 17 buses. Am I right about that? 17 buses that have caught fire? That's not really acceptable. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I would certainly love to talk to you today, get your take on all of this. Jeff Sessions going to be testifying before the Senate this afternoon. We'll find out. And again, I don't think this is going to go well at all. I really don't. I really, really don't. There's also the news is going with a big story this morning that the president is looking at replacing Robert Mueller. That was the big thing. Now, how did the news get this story that the president is looking at replacing Robert Mueller? Well, a friend said he thought that that's what was going to happen. It wasn't an official White House spokesperson. It was a friend of the president who said that, and the news media just ran with it. Well, they love their unverified sources, don't they? They love their well, what happened to journalism in this country? It is no longer existent whatsoever. However, I thought this was interesting. Remember when you had the attack over in England last week, and the president tweeted out about that? Do you remember what what NBC said? The president reports terror attack in London. This is an unverified report. We are checking. Just the president. You'll take a report from anybody but the president of the United States. Yeah, journalism at its finest. It's dead, y'all. It's dead. Journalism as we know it. And that's why I'm a little mixed on the president's tweets. While I think that sometimes he needs to tweet things out just to bypass the media, I think a lot of times some of this bickering, some of the infighting that he's doing, that needs to be squelched. They need to really cut back on that. But certainly keep in touch with the American people because, A, it really irritates the mainstream media. They really get upset over that. And I like it when they get upset. I really do. I think it's a lot of fun when these people get all worked up about nothing because for so long they have considered themselves the elite in this country. Oh, we're the media. Oh, I'm with NBC. I'm yada, yada, yada from W blah, blah, blah. And I blankety blank blank. Well, we're finding out we don't really need them anymore. There was a time when we needed the media in this country, but we don't anymore. Now we've got people out there that are more than willing to take up the torch that the media has dropped, and that is to do actual journalism in this country. Something that the media just found it was just a little inconvenient for them to do that because it didn't fit with their political philosophy. And we've seen it all over.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:40, 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Mid-America Nazarene University has done a study of the most important inventions by state. Each state of the union, every state has invented something, and they have listed the most important somethings that each state has invented. And of course, I know you're all interested in what South Carolina is. Of course, South Carolina, our most important invention, they say, was the, can you guess? The military submarine. That's right. We invented it right here. The Hunley. That's right. That's our most important invention. And that's pretty significant when you consider the use of military submarines today. Extremely significant, and it all started right here in South Carolina. Hey, North Dakota, don't feel bad. No, cream of wheat is good. No, I'm sure I've never had cream of wheat because, you know, it's cream of wheat, but I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine that you invented that in 1893. No. Don't, nothing to be ashamed of there. Nothing to be ashamed. Hey, Wyoming. The shovel handle's important too. Don't feel bad. Really? No. Oh, the improved shovel handle. That was your most important. No, I'm sure that's fine. No. No reason to be. We just invented the military submarine. That's all. And you guys are out there with your cream of wheat and your shovel handle.
First off, cream of wheat is very good.
You like it? Yeah, I've never had it in my life.
It's very, very good. Put brown sugar and butter on it.
All right.
It's, you know, very close to Eden grits.
Right.
Okay? As far as the texture is concerned.
Yeah.
And the shovel handle, what else would the SCDOT workers able to do, you know, during their workday if they didn't have a shovel handle to lean on?
That's right. It's a DOT leaner. That's what they have. See, Wyoming, way to go. My gosh.
A DOT proper upper.
The DOT proper upper. Good job, buddies. Yeah, nothing to be ashamed of there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Yeah, never had cream of wheat in my life. Not in my whole life. Why? Because there are grits. Why would you have cream of wheat when there's grits? That's the question. All right, let's see what else is going on out there. Beyonce brought in $105 million last year. Yep, they're close to being, her and Jay-Z, I think combined, they are real close to being a billionaire couple. Diddy, which, what was, how many times has he changed his name? 100? It was P. Diddy, and then it went, whatever. He made $130 million last year. J.K. Rowling, really raking it in with this Harry Potter thing. I think that's going to catch on pretty soon. $95 million. Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer player, $93 million. Howard Stern brought in $90 million last year. Wow. He paying for that subscription there. LeBron James, $86 million. This breaks my heart. Justin Bieber, $83.5 million last year. Dr. Phil, I didn't know this. Dr. Phil brought in $79 million. Bruce Springsteen, $75. Who would have thought that Dr. Phil would have brought in more money than Bruce Springsteen? And Mark Wahlberg, $68 million. Hey, Bruce, how's that rock and roll working out for you? Dr. Phil, what was that? $79 million? How many years... Now, this is, you know, you and me talking here. How many years would you work if you made $79 million in 1 year? That'd be it for me. I would, chick, chick. Nope, sorry, I'm done with the work. I'm traveling.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Trump may be feeling insecure, but it's not about James Comey's Senate testimony last week. Because Trump never did anything wrong, as he made clear at this press conference.
He did say under oath that you told him to let the Flynn, you said you hoped the Flynn investigation, you could let...
I didn't say that.
So he lied about that.
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, I will tell you, I didn't say that.
And did he ask you to pledge his
And there'd
loyalty?
Be nothing wrong if I did say it, according to everybody that I've read today, but I did not say that.
Spoken like a man with nothing to hide. Officer, I did not steal that car, and there would be nothing wrong if I did, because stealing's not illegal, right? It is? Okay, then put me down for didn't do it. Just check that box.
There's Charleston's own embarrassment, Stephen Colbert, on President Trump, saying he didn't ask Comey to kill the investigation. Now, this morning, let me pull this tweet up here, because I got to find this. Wendell Gilyard tweeted something out this morning about the cabinet meeting that President Trump had yesterday. And basically he put out, he had the emoji with the vomit on there. Have you seen that one? Yeah, there you go. He had that one on there. So Representative Wendell Gilyard posted the vomit thing because President Trump let his cabinet talk in this cabinet meeting, and one of the things was they were all very complimentary.
Start with Mike, and we'll just go around and just you name your position, and then we'll ask these folks to go back and have a good day, and we're going to discuss our various reports. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. President, and just the greatest privilege of my life is to serve as vice president to a president who's keeping his word to the American people and assembling a team that's bringing real change, real prosperity, real strength back to our nation.
Thank you, Mike.
Mr. President, it's great to be here and celebrate this group. It's an honor to be able to serve you in that regard. You set the exact right message, and it's being responded. The response is fabulous around the country.
Mr. President, I'm privileged to be here, deeply honored, and I want to thank you for keeping your commitment to the American workers.
President, what an incredible honor it is to lead the Department of Health and Human Services at this pivotal time under your leadership. I can't thank you enough for the privilege that you've given me and leadership.
So with that, Wendell Gilyard said, he put this on Facebook, welcome to POTUS butt-kissing cabinet meeting on yesterday. Please note how he sits there sucking it up. What the heck is this country coming to? That coming from Wendell Gilyard, sir. Oh, where's the, what? I wonder how many times we saw that same exact thing happen while Obama was in the White House. How many times did we see that exact thing? Notice how he's sitting there sucking it up and butt-kissing cabinet meeting. Let me ask you something, Mr. Gilyard, as a representative of the folks of the great state of South Carolina and of this community, where's the respect for the presidency? Where the hell has that gone? There is no respect whatsoever, and all of this has started. You know, it's called the chicken yard, chicken pen philosophy. Once you allow somebody, once a chicken allows another chicken to come and peck on it and bother it and bully it, then the others all assume that, hey, they can do it too. So I guess Wendell Gilyard wants to make a headline for himself in posting something ridiculous like this. What was wrong with this cabinet meeting? But because CNN reported it as headline, Donald Trump just held the weirdest cabinet meeting ever, then all of a sudden, well, I guess that's the only place you get your news, Mr. Gilyard, right? From CNN? Well, that's wise. That's always wise. Sometimes I like Wendell, and sometimes I have no idea where he is, what planet he's on completely. Yes, maybe his turtleneck is too tight or something.
You know, sometimes when you're in a meeting situation,
yeah,
the person who starts off the meeting kind of sets the tone for the meeting.
Uh-huh.
So that might not have been with anything that's prearranged, but all of a sudden Mike Pence,
right, yeah,
you know, says something nice about the president because they knew they were on TV.
Sure,
you know?
sure, they did.
Then Jeff Sessions says something nice about the president. If you're the third and fourth and fifth guy,
yeah, what are you gonna
and
do?
These first two guys have said some nice stuff about their boss, you're not going to go up there and say, I'm John Quincy, yeah. I'm head of the FCC, and here's what I do. No, you're going to follow right along and get along.
Mr. President, I think somebody was in my parking space this morning. Could you do something about that?
Yeah, no, you're right. They're just following along. So. It's that whole piling on thing that all of these people think there's big brain trust going on out there with the left now. And it goes from, as you see, Wendell Gilyard right here locally, all the way up to the top levels of government. The Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to try to discredit the president of the United States, period. They want to make sure that you think, and all of Wendell Gilyard's folks that voted for him think, that this is an illegitimate president. So they will never have anything positive to say about anything that President Trump does, period. Period. However, the president is getting plenty of pushback from folks on the right. So not only does he have to combat the liberals and the Democrats, he's got to combat the John McCains of the world out there. He's got to combat the Paul Ryans out there of the world when he's just trying to get the job done. And like I said, it's 145 days now. We should have been a lot further along in this presidency than we are right now. But instead, you get people, and that's it. You know, they get all courageous. Oh, well, I'm going to make a ridiculous statement about the president. Look at this butt-kissing cabinet meeting yesterday. How many people kissed Obama's butt for 8 years? How many people continue to kiss Obama's butt? It's a constant rump smooching with Obama and, of course, Hillary Clinton. Let's go to Charles out in Ravenel. Charles, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I called in because I just want to say this real quickly.
Yeah.
The Democrats and the journalists, the media, they just don't get it. By doing this, they're not hurting Trump.
Right.
They're hurting themselves. Because, no disrespect, but whatever influence the media has had, they've lost it, and they're never going to get it back. And the Democrats, they have nothing. They have nothing.
It's desperation, and it's obvious.
Yes, it is.
The desperation is obvious with the folks on the left.
Real quick. I'm an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for Donald Trump. I support Donald Trump, and I will vote for him again.
There you go.
Because there is no way on God's green earth I could vote for a Democrat. The Democrats, real quick, they
When's the last time, Charles, when's the last time you voted Democrat?
Never.
You've never voted Democrat.
Never.
Okay.
Just real quick. I used to be a Democrat. I used to be a liberal. And I started listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
When I first started listening to Rush, I thought he was a racist. You know, the worst guy ever. But I kept listening to him. And I realized, this guy's right.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
That's right. See, once you're confronted with facts, I appreciate it, Charles, then you've either got to go along with the facts or deny the facts.